The Spanish Announce Table.
So the last time we saw Tim, he was losing his mind. Some said he was beside himself. Now this week, we catch up with Tim with As the Wheel Turns.
So I might go to pick up this fucking truck that we bought, right? What did I tell you when we last left it? We bought a truck. It had some issues. They were going to fix it. And we were going to go pick it back up, right?
Pretty simple. After a big, huge debacle.
Right. And my wife had told them, you take all the time you need. You've given us a loaner. Make sure it's right, right? Make sure it's right. You know, you've had two strikes. There you go, right? Fix it. Take all the time you need. You tell me when it's ready, right? Monday rolls around, and they're like, yep, it's finishing getting detailed. They put the spray-in liner. They fixed everything. It doesn't shake anymore. You're good to go. We were like, good, because we're going to soccer practice with my son. We're going to drive all the way out to Excelsior Springs from there, right? Like, we're going to get there right before your closing. Is it good? You've driven it? Like, we're not driving all the way out there. And they're like, yeah, everything's great. And we're like, great. We go all the way out there. We get in there. We start to leave. It's not full of gas, right? Which they told us it would be, right? Okay, whatever. It's got 3/4 of a tank. Fine, whatever. Let's go get some gas, right? And it takes the gas, Tom, right? It takes the gas. It
all
fills
right.
it
so
up.
You're feeling good.
It fills it up.
Good.
No,
back
because
up
then
a little
it spit
bit.
It out at me.
Hold
after
on, back
it
up.
Filled up.
Back up. For people who don't know this area, how many miles are you driving here?
Oh, man.
From
Excelsior
where
Springs.
You were...
I was on Shawnee Mission Boulevard and like the 35. So I'm in Miriam, right?
Okay.
For the soccer
place. How far is it? Give us some miles here.
Excelsior Springs is then, it was probably a 30 to 45 minute drive due north on the interstate. So, I mean, we're talking what? 40 miles, 50 miles, something like that, right?
Okay. 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 So now let's fast forward. So you're now getting the gas,
yep.
Thinking, oh, this should work.
Yeah, and it doesn't, right? It takes it, but now it spills out at the end. A little less, doesn't spray all over me, but it spills definitely all over the side of the truck. And I'm like, God damn it, son of a shit. Like, I'm starting to like this, I can't even, what? God, right? Like, I'm like, this can't, no. But we had already kind of been like, at some point, like, as long as it feels safe to drive, we can buy it and we'll take it to a reputable, you know what I mean? Like other mm-hmm. deals, because we're just mm-hmm. not trusting this place. But I'm like, man, I can't handle this. And we get in and we start driving and it's still shaking at like 70 miles an hour, which is the problem they said would just be fixed by the thing. And I'm like, we can't do this. And it's too late to go back. And we drive all the way home. And my wife the next day is like, I mean, the whole way home, I'm talking like I am now, only way more mad. Right? Like, I'm mm-hmm. sure mm-hmm. my son was with us. I'm sure he was, like, scared. You know what I mean? Like, I was so furiously angry. And then, like, I mean, we're fighting with each other needlessly, my wife and I. You know what I mean? Over, you know, even though we're mad at them. You know, because you know how you just get in these situations.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Of course.
Mm-hmm. And I can't even focus, right? And I'm trying to drive this thing that's shaking down the damn highway. And I'm like, you son of a... So the next day, I'm at work because I've got to work, you know? And my wife manages to get some time off of her work. And she... is going to go take it back, and she's like, I'm just going to go in there and tell him, give me my other damn truck back, buy this back, we're out of here, right? Like, we're done with this, right? It's nonsense, right? And she goes to air up a tire because, you know, now it says low tire, and as soon as she's airing up the tire keeps going flat, right? It beeps, tells you you're done, right? It's one of those tires that goes like, doo-doo-doo, right, when you're things, and then, like, she'd get back in, and the thing would come back on, and she'd check it, and sure enough, so the tire's not holding air, right? And she's like, what in the hell? And as she's doing that, she looks up under in the wheel well and where the suspension coil, where the housing that covers that, I don't know if you've ever seen that back in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's screws in it, but those nuts on that screws are not, like, fastened. They're on that thing loose. And she calls me now crying. She was like, what in the hell did they do to us? I don't know if this thing is safe. Like, I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? And she was like, I mean, freaking out. I'm like, all right, just. You know what I mean? Like, either you can tow it all the way out there, you can get it out there, you know what I mean? So she drives it out there, and I'm so glad she did this because she handled this in a situation where I would have made this a lot worse because I was furiously angry. I was going to go in nuts screaming, but she went in, and she told the guy that she was like, look, this thing's still shaking. It's still spitting gas on us. These nuts are loose on the damn, you know what I mean, suspension. Like, you guys, I should have brought Brown and Crouppen with me. That's not a free plug for them. They owe us money for that. But you know what I mean? Like, they might sue us for saying that, whatever.
Right, right, right.
Famous lawyers here in Kansas City, for anybody who don't know, they're the accident lawyer kind of people. So anyway, like, she's like, just give me my truck back. Let's do this paperwork. I can't trust that thing ever again, you know, like, or you guys. Like, get out here. He was like, this is the sales manager over our salesperson who had kind of talked with us a couple times. He goes, I thought everything was good. Your truck, we sold it this morning. You know, the old truck we traded in. And my wife just went, well, why the hell would you have done that? And why would you have assumed that? And he was like, well, and she goes, because you called me? Because that's not what you did, right? Like, she was just like, why did you do this? This is exactly what the problem has been this whole time. Nobody knows what's going on in here. You know what I mean? She was like, you guys say one thing to another. And she was like, and the whole problem here, she was like, what really pisses me off is you guys could have saved me the trouble if you would have driven this thing, if you would have put gas in this thing, if you would have done any of the things that were the problem. You know what I mean? She was just like, what are we going to do about this now? You know what I mean? Like, just, like, I mean, she was just, you know what I mean, just upside down with them. Go ahead.
And so who was the company?
This is, it's Heartland Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Whatever the names of those may be mixed around the you know, whatever, but
so
it's in Excelsior Springs. Well, listen, okay, the story does get better, right, over time. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So
as the wheel turns.
So, finally she calls me and she was like, hey, listen, she was like, okay, so there is a truck here on the lot, which is the original truck we went there for, and it was sold when we got there. But it came back because the people who bought it, their financing fell through. And so she was like, this one feels way better. She was like, I spent the last 30 minutes like fine-tooth combing this thing over. She was like, it drives smooth. It does not spill gas on me. You know what I mean? She was like, I made them come fill up the gas with me. She was like, can you get out here? So I like take off work early. And again, I'm in a new job. Now, I've been telling them.
Oh, yeah.
Because this has started happening by Thanksgiving, and I started after this. So they know. I've just told them every time because I knew this was going to be an issue, right? So I just made sure, like, hey, listen to what sucks about my life so that you know that I'm not crazy when this happens, right? So here I am taking off early from work, driving all the way out there, and this truck is good, right? And we're like, great, except you can tell, like, the rotors are bad, right? You know what I mean? And so we were like, guys, I want you to replace the rotors on here, but I also don't know that I want you to replace
the
rotors on
yeah.
here. And so what they told us is that they were like, all right, we seriously had a problem that the technician who worked on that vehicle was a new technician, and we are pretty solid that he has lied about his experience, and we are dealing with HR right now. They're looking into how they can handle that. Like, he's not actively working here at the moment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this, you know what I mean? Like, that we understand that they seriously dropped the ball here, which was not the only problem. Like, they had a serious lack of communication top down.
Oh, yeah.
For everything, for the perfect storm to happen in a company, that's why it happens, right? Because there's no communication from the top down, right? If there's communication from the top down, somebody along the way stops the perfect storm from happening, right? Because they know what the hell they're doing. That didn't happen here. So, we then have to drive back again that night home because they've got to keep it overnight and fix the things. And my wife was seriously like, you do not, you absolutely do not call us out here if this thing is not done, right? Like, I swear, like, I can't even. And what their plan is, they're like, all right, you will sell us back. Here's where it gets even better, right? You're going to sell us back the truck that we bought from you, right? We're going to trade in full price that you paid for it on this new one. And there you go, right? Even swap. And we're like, cool. Well, at first, he lays it down, it's $700 more, and we were like, what? And he was like, well, it's 3 years newer, and I was just like, dude, like, you know, my wife, like, had to, like, take her glasses off and just set it down, and the guy was like, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and take that, discount that off the price of the truck, and we were like, yeah, man, like, yeah, right, like, okay, so we get that, right, and then the issue becomes, all right, we legally own the blue one, right? We can't trade it in until it's registered.
No.
And I got to register it in Kansas. And I'm in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. And so I've got to drive to Kansas now to go register a vehicle that I'm just going to drive back to Excelsior Springs and trade in on another one. Again, this is 50 miles back and forth because the place I got to go is near my house. Right? So on my way there, I call my mom who used to work for the DMV, and I was like, is that right? Like, is a 30-day tag not sufficient? Like, do I absolutely have to do this? She puts me in touch with somebody who still works there because my mom's been retired for a couple of years and moved out of state. But that lady was like, yes, unfortunately, absolutely you do. Kansas wants their tax, right? Like, they're going to get their money. And she was like, but the situation here is also, guys, you have a Missouri title and you live in Kansas, you have to have a vehicle inspection done. And you got to bring the truck with you. So now I've got to turn around. Right. This is how it's been the whole time. So I got to turn around and I go back and I'm like, guys, now I got to take the truck in there and get an inspection. It's going to close before we get there. Right. Like, so this has to be done tomorrow. I can't come back here and get that truck and I'm not driving that truck back. Like, it's not safe. And so they were like, they had to drive some, you know, one of their schmucks had to drive this unsafe truck to us the next day, meet my wife at the inspection place, pay for that, drive it back. My wife then went to the registration place, registered that, and then we drove back to Excelsior Springs, did that swap of a vehicle, and then left out of there, never to see them again. In the end, these guys tried really hard and made it right. We got a much better vehicle, newer.
That is...
But like,
that is the worst situation with vehicles I have ever heard in my life. Oh my God. Was getting aggravated of you just telling me.
Yes. Yeah.
Going through it, I would have hurt someone.
So he, at the end, he
probably
was like,
myself.
At the end, he's finally like, he's like, okay, listen. He's like, let me go talk to the my manager who's like over all the four dealerships, see if there's any last things I can do for you, right? And he comes down, he was like, hey, I'm going to be able to like mail you guys a $200 check.
Say 2,000.
You know, well, so he was like, on top of, you know, whatever they all the other shit, right, that they've done. And so he was like, well, he goes, she told me to give him a $200 service credit for the shop. And I said, no, listen, you don't get it. I might as well throw water in their face if I tell them to ever come back here again. So I was like, yeah, good idea, man. Good idea. Now, in the end, I mean, these people were always nice. They never once were like, oh, these assholes.
Who cares?
Right? Well, no, but, no. You know, have you ever been in a situation like this? They're instantly treating you like you're an annoyance, right?
Yeah.
They never did that here, right? They were always like, oh, holy shit. Especially once they realized the gravity of it and we had to explain to them, like, hey, are you guys even fucking listening to what's going on here? The sales manager was like, oh, holy shit, right? And then he finally started like, you talk directly to me. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, he stepped in and got the thing done, but it was just like, God damn, guys. Like, it was so bad. And part of the problem is I was so far away from my house. Had I kept my truck search tighter, I may have never had to deal with that. But I kid you not. They weren't available. We had to chase them around. I told you how we like lost several on the way.
That was on last week's As the Wheel Turns.
So it's been so horrific and so horrible. And so like we literally like did a damn dance in our fucking driveway out here when we got out with the truck. I mean, we were just like, Jesus, man. We went and bought a cake. You know what I mean? We were like, let's go celebrate. Like, we're done with this. Never again. The guy literally was like, hey, thanks, guys. I hope we never have to see each other again. You know, like, he was like, for real, though. Like, you know, he's like, if you need something, call us. You know, if you want to buy a car, by all means, we're here. But, like, we're done, right? Like, you guys can rest easy. We were like, God damn,
we are
thanks.
Done. Well, as the truck turns, man. Hopefully that was as fun for you as it was for Tim, because it sounds like he had tons of fun. And that concludes As the Wheel Turns.
So, which reminds me, if anybody wants to be the Slater Gator Beer Sponsor of the Week, because sometimes I need some spirits to calm down, right? To get into the spirit. So you got to go to PayPal and you use tableshow@gmail.com. It's a great way to donate to the show if you just like, man, these guys were really cool. Right, I mean, they're really calm. And that one poor guy with the truck, man, I feel really bad. I like to chip in for some of his gas. You know what I mean? Like, that would feel good. You can also, if you don't want to just donate, man, we have a new store that has just gone up. It's Zazzle instead of Cafe Press this time. ZAZZLE.com/Spanish Announce Table. More going up each and every day. It's a lot easier for me to load them up. So check out. There's definitely some stuff you can buy right now. Some hot stuff. Hot stuff, not even just apparel, not just shirts. So go check that out. Also, SpanishAnnounceTable.net, brought to you by BDD. You can go on there and use our Amazon affiliate link.
Well, let's get right into what we are here to talk about, and that is pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And the pro wrestling news wasn't as in-depth as it has been in prior weeks. However, there was one news story that was bigger, badder, cooler, depending on your point of view, Then them all. And that was the All Elite Wrestling Rally, or hashtag AEW Rally. Yeah. Now, we don't want to go through a line-by-line item of what was said, who said it.
We don't?
But let me give you a summary. No. Let's give you a summary.
Oh, prepared a...
Yeah, put itemized. It away. Just hey, go put it in your other truck.
It's like, right.
Yeah, no, go put it in another truck.
Oh, yeah, go drive back to... All right.
Yeah, go back to Excelsior Springs, put it in that truck.
And you know what? Fuck you, too. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, so here we go. Conrad Thompson is involved somehow, as it wasn't, maybe I missed this, and hashtag tweet the table if I did, but I don't know if he's necessarily in a management position, but he was the MC of this rally.
Yeah, I don't think he's like got that kind of money, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, or, you know, or maybe influence, something like that. But let's summarize. So Chris Jericho, Pac, a.k.a. Neville, if you're only a WWE fan, Britt Baker, Penelope Ford, Joey Janela, my favorite, he was independent until now, apparently, but my favorite pro wrestler outside of the WWE, MJF, SCU, Brandy, The Elite, and obviously Cody, can't say Rhodes, but let's just do it anyhow, Cody Rhodes are going to be on the main roster for AEW Rally. Their first show is going to be in Las Vegas called Double or Nothing, as we talked about last week. Their second show... it's going to be in Jacksonville. And here's the interesting thing. This is where we kind of can start our conversation about this rally. The second show is in Jacksonville with a large part of ticket sales to benefit victims of gun violence. Also noteworthy, equal pay for men and women. So, Tim, summarizing the event that was, what's your first thought?
Getting Chris Jericho was a very smart move, and bold.
Getting Pac and Pac.
Yeah, Pac. That one didn't shock me. I figured he would be there.
You know why I didn't?
Okay.
No, I didn't, because obviously, you know, he's been in America for years upon years. But I really thought after he left WWE, he kind of, and this is me just assuming on his behalf, but I just assumed he'd be like, well, I'm done with America. If it's not WWE, probably don't want to be anywhere else. Going back to where I feel comfortable, going back to, you know, Europe, where crowds love me. If you remember, they did that whole welcome home chant for him not too long ago. I really thought he was going to be like, you know what? NXT UK, you ain't taking this over. I'm here to stay.
Well, I mean, except all the big ones are starting to be affiliated with the NXT UK.
But you know what I mean? I thought maybe he was going to do the, I don't
Sting
know, one of those
over there.
Yeah, exactly. I thought he was going to try to be the Sting in Europe. But so he was a shock for me. I agree with you. Jericho is a big name. Now, remember, he's no spring chicken. He ain't getting any younger.
Of course.
But as far as a casual fan saying, like, who's here? I can tell a casual fan in their late 20s, early 30s, like, hey, it's Chris Jericho. And they're going to at least go like, oh, I remember him, Y2J.
The guys at my work, my new work, that are wrestling fans, you know, they're slightly older than us. And they were like, I was like, hey, you hear Chris Jericho join this new wrestling? They were like, I did see that. You know, they were like, that's interesting. And I'm like, yeah, you know.
One also, another note. Yeah, exactly, guys. People or women. Tweet the table. One other note that I found interesting was how Chris Jericho said, like, they're working on a TV deal. I'm not just going to sign with an independent promotion without TV, you know, options here. So they've got some things that are coming, you know, down the pipeline. So that'll be interesting. Chris Jericho, you know, he likes to muddy the waters and zig when everyone zags and things like that. However, I've never felt like he's an outright liar, definitely in regards to business. So it seems like TV is on the horizon. That first show, Double or Nothing, I think it's in May.
Yeah, it's
Vegas? May 25th or something like that.
Yeah, we don't fact check.
May
2011.
Paul Heyman will tell you what to do if we were wrong on
he would say
Google it, bitches. I'm not here to educate you.
And you know he'd be right, because
you're an idiot.
There you go.
Right.
I feel like they need some more news before that first pay-per-view, and I think a TV deal will be one of those news items where it keeps them in the IWC conscience, I guess you could say.
Yes.
So here's where I'm going to start to nitpick just a little bit.
What's that?
First off, I love the show. MGM Grand, Las Vegas, Nevada. Like I told you when this whole thing kind of started after they announced it in the new year, I didn't want Southern wrestling and South Carolina and all that stuff. I love it. It's great. I just want something different. That was my point. And this feels completely different. You know, I can remember the Raw Roulette shows, but really Las Vegas and pro wrestling to me isn't synonymous with really anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you tell me, you know, Greensboro, North Carolina, that's WCW,
yeah,
right?
You
tell me New York, Boston, Philly, or you tell me New York, Boston, that's WWE. You tell me Philly, that's EC. Like, there's towns that the Las Vegas is wide open. It's the fight capital of the world. But, man, they've got everything there. Their partnerships with Pro Wrestling Tees, Las Vegas Fight Shop is there that they partner with. That's a great idea.
But it's got a bit of the LA problem, right? Where it's not like a whole lot of locals that live there for a long period of time. It's a transient.
True. But for a first show to make a splash, I think
First show? Yeah, absolutely. It couldn't be a home base of operations or anything.
Right? But I think that first show, Las Vegas, is an absolute 100% home
their contemporary
run.
Style. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. This second show in Jacksonville. Now, obviously, it makes sense why Jacksonville would be the location. The owner, the principal financial backer is the owner of the Jags.
The Shane McMahon.
Right. He's the
principal.
Runner,
yeah.
Yeah, the guy that actually is the money guy. He owns the Jags, the NFL team in Jacksonville. But this, I don't know, a large part
he's
of
the
ticket
Panda
sales,
Energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But a large part of the ticket sales to benefit victims of gun violence. Look, I love that. That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
However, shouldn't we crawl before we run here? Like, isn't the point of a for-profit business to make profit?
Right. We don't know that you already make so much money that you can forego some.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, that's my point. It's like, hey, let's back up just a little bit.
Right.
Make some money before you start, I don't know, just giving it away. That's me being a, you know, thinking financials, which is stupid. Exactly.
Right.
Now, equal pay for men and women.
Uh-huh.
This sounds awesome on paper and is the dumbest idea I think I've ever heard of for any type of business in this setting.
Okay.
You're trying to tell me that the main event, and correct me if I'm wrong, I could definitely be wrong and heard this incorrectly or reading it wrong from all the reports, but you're trying to tell me, let's just say Joey Janela is their champion, just because here's a name that signed with him, right? Or Jericho. Jericho signed with him. I assume he's not going to be in management. He's just a talent. So Jericho is your heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
He's your main event. He will be making the same pay as, let's just say,
Britt
she's
Baker.
The women's. Well, I was going to say, let's just say she's the women's champion for AEW, Penelope Ford, right? You're trying to tell me Penelope Ford and Chris Jericho are going to be making the same money?
Well, and here, let's go further deep into that, because not only are those two going to be making the same money in the comparison of the world heavyweight champion and the women's champion, but over the course of the year and over the course of the contract, they randomly decide who's the champ and who's not. So is every woman making the same as every man? Is everybody just making the same exact amount of money then? Because how do you monitor? What does that mean? How do the women earn the same as the men? Is there a tiered system? Are we then telling men that, like, no, you're definitely not the top tier main event, right? So you only make
in this
X
contract.
Amount. Right. Like, it's,
and, while
and then
we have you
and that way we can pay the girls this much also over here that are at that same level. Like, what?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, because then, even to go more so on that point, let's just separate it from men and women and just say equal pay, right? So Joey Janela is signed at the – and we're using, you know, make-believe fictional statuses here, but he's the curtain jerker, right? He's in that first match of the night, right? So that's when he signed his contract. Well, he hits off with this, you know, gimmick that catches the world on fire, and he goes to the main event. Well, his contract is for the curtain jerker when you signed him. So now you're going to bump his pay up. And then if Chris Jericho is your champ and loses the belt, does that mean his pay goes down to the mid card? I mean,
yeah, something tells me this is like for office workers and not talent, right?
But it seemed the way it was presented was talent is equal pay for men and women.
There's no equal, like the talent amongst themselves don't make equal pay. So how are you going to dictate?
Exactly.
Because it men to men don't make, and that's true in every industry also, but I mean, like, there's no set positions. There's no, like, you know, Seth Rollins isn't the assistant manager at WWE, and then we know so is Becky Lynch, right? So they should make the same. That's not how it works. Like, how do you how do you measure and monitor?
That, yeah, that is going to be an interesting tidbit of information, and we see how it folds out.
If you've got a way to do it, great. I'd love to hear it because that's awesome, right? Like, good on you.
Yeah, if you figured it out, let us know because I think that is
hashtag
incredible.
Tweet the table on Twitter, and we might read it right here on the show.
Yeah, I don't think you have figured it out, though. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. All right, now let's get into another bit of information with AEW, and that is Brandi Rhodes.
Yeah.
But Brandi is going to be the chief brand officer. Mm-hmm. You have the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes as your vice presidents. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning this sounds a lot like nepotism. Mm-hmm. Elaborate, please.
Well, any local fans of our show here in Kansas City area may have recalled a fresh wrestling organization that was going to do things a little different, right? Give you a way it's supposed to be done. With somebody who suddenly had a lot of money to spend, right? And but didn't really have any actual experience in the industry. And hired a bunch of people that put all their friends in prominent positions. And you know, I feel like we know what happens in this storyline.
Well,
I'm a little worried
about
that. Right. They did go out of business very abruptly and suddenly.
Let me play devil's advocate. Advocate here.
Yeah.
The greatest pro wrestling organization of all time is ran by a
family.
Father, daughter, son, and wife.
And son-in-law.
Yeah, and son-in-law.
And son-in-law.
So
and
here's where I
and cousins and friends and and out the wall. Yeah, it's a good old boy / nepotism mountain. But again, I thought we were supposed to be doing things differently.
That is true. I just feel like that is such a...
Is Brandi making the same as the Young Bucks?
Equal pay for men and women?
Right?
I don't know. We'll see.
Right?
I just think this is such a slippery slope with, you know, in 2019, we're recording on January 10th, everyone's best friends, right? Oh, my God, I love it. Woo-woo! Right?
Right. When business gets involved...
When business gets involved, and let's just say Britt Baker here is in charge of marketing, and marketing numbers are coming back a little soft, right? Mm-hmm. Are you okay with going, hey, Britt, we need you to work a little harder?
Or are you okay going like, hey, we're not going to renew your contract at this number unless you're willing to take a lower... Sorry, Joey Ryan. Nobody cares about the dick storyline.
We found someone outside of this bubble that can do your job better. Everyone else is still staying in this bubble and keeping their job.
Or
you have to go.
Or
are you staying at the company?
Or WWE's been buying all of our talent and blacklisting us, and now we're getting off the network and we can only go to Pop TV, so we can't afford you anymore. Can you take a pay cut? Right, we've seen this storyline happen also, right? Like,
now,
we just, you know, Jeff Jarrett did the same thing though. All of his buddies, all of his friends, all of his marital, you know what I mean, like all that stuff suddenly involved in the brass and in the main office, and it just doesn't work well. It never works well,
and never, well, unless it does with WWE. It just feels like, you know, like you said, this was supposed to feel different, and I still think it will, right? Like, I'm still a very excited observer of what this will be, but there are some red flags where you go, well, wait a minute. You put your wife in charge of this? Wait a minute. Your best friends are over here? Wait a minute. You're trying to do things without a real thought-out plan? We'll see.
And then Hulk Hogan shows up. Like, okay.
Right, yeah. All and right. then, you know who will help us here? We're going to get
Scott Steiner.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. You know who's going to be in charge of our hardcore division? Abyss.
Yeah.
He's fat.
Yeah, he is.
All right, so that was the main news. Like I said, I'm very excited. I'm a little apprehensive just because I'm kind of a pessimist. I hope the best. I'm going to be watching that first show, Double or Nothing. I hope that the TV deal is a channel I get.
That was May 2011th, right? May 2011th of 2019?
2011th?
Yeah, it was the 2011th of May, right?
What are you saying?
That Double or Nothing. What day was that?
It
was the 2011th of May, right?
No, what?
We don't fact check, right? So it's, I was just trying to make sure it was the, yeah.
Oh.
Right. I was just trying to plug the show for him, right? It's May 2011th. It's in Las Cruces, New Mexico or something like that, right? Yeah.
It's in Las Vegas, California.
Right. Okay, there you go. Right. Yeah, Las Vegas, California on the 2011th of May, 2019. And it's going to be, I bet... bet they're going to be blowing themselves a little bit in it, is how I'm starting to feel.
Yeah, I will say, though, the one thing that I loved about the entire press conference is, you know, a lot of it started to seem like SCU came out, and aren't we cool? This town sucks, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool, right? Jericho comes out, I'm all in with All Elite. Okay. But MJF and Joey Janela, who have a past history, bringing that in on day one made me very excited. I love MJF. He is so witty on the mic. And the best trash talkers all have a grain of truth in it, right? Like, the worst trash talkers are like, I'm the best in the world. Your record's 0-12. Well, I can knock you out. You don't have any knockouts. Well, I'll submit you in 2 minutes. You've never put a submission on anyone, right? Like, shut the fuck up. But when MJF says, I'm the hottest free agent, I'm 22, I'm good looking, look at how I am, everyone wants me, you want to see my call log, look at all the companies calling me, and you go, God damn it.
Yeah.
He's fucking right.
Yeah,
that is when someone trash talks and has that little grain of truth, you're like,
that's how I feel with like when Leo Rush is talking about Bobby Lashley, when he's like, nobody looks like you. And I'm like, yeah, nobody does. Like, nobody looks like that. You're like, God damn, I don't like it.
He looks like an action figure. Yeah, and fuck, he does. God damn it. Right, you know?
Right. Like, all the women want to sleep with him. You're like, they probably do. That's really, that sucks. Yeah. sucks
but
for me.
To bring him in with hopefully a built in rivalry with Joey Janela, I think is good, because one other thing that will be interesting to see how this plays out is, you know, we have Hangman Page and Pac. It seems like that's going to be a matchup on the first pay-per-view. Yeah. But a lot of these people are playing like very nice, ha-ha, right? Like the Elite and SCU, I mean, unless something happens, they both seem like baby faces. So we need a little bit more, you know, MJFs in the company.
Chris Jericho's contract. How many guaranteed Fozzy concerts during the special events, huh?
Oh, my God.
Seven guaranteed Fozzy concerts?
How about this? In the first pay-per-view for Double or Nothing, over under, Tim, two in, not match, but in event promotional videos for Fozzy.
For Fozzy,
Two, over under.
The music for... for the show will be brought to you by Fozzy.
You think so?
Don't you think so? Like how they do, like how WWE does, you know, the track or whatever, right? They're gonna have, it's by Fozzy. There's seven guaranteed Fozzy concerts during the next pay-per-views, or else he gets double pay. Of course, and then all the women will have to get double pay also, because you know what I mean. It's got to be equal.
No, give me your over-under. Be serious here. Right. Two in promos during the pay-per-view, we're going to get two promos from Fozzy. Over-under.
Promos from Fozzy. What do you mean?
So Fozzy's new album comes out October 16th.
Oh, so you're setting it at two. Am I taking the over or the under?
Ooh. Yeah, two.
Yeah, I got to go under because I don't think there'll be three. I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I think it's going to be two. Can I push?
No, can't push. All right,
you got to set it at a half. That's why you got to set it at a half.
Who are you most excited with with AEW so far? Again, Kenny Omega was an omission that people thought they would see at this rally. There's some other big names and big news items that they really didn't address. So of the things that they mentioned from this rally, what was your what was the thing that got you the most excited?
I'm just excited that it exists. I think the TV stuff that we've heard, you know, coming out, all the hints is what excites me the most. Like, if this is legit on TV and legit is going to be, you know what I mean, a thing that people can watch and see and could be a spot for people to land, that's what excites me the most. So as far as the rally, I mean, I think Jericho signing was kind of the most like, hey, good move, guys. You know what I mean? Like, that was cool. So I think that was kind of the most surprising aspect of it.
All right. I'm going to say my favorite thing was that the show takes place in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I like the talent. MJF was my favorite talent acquisition that they made just because I'm so high on him right now. But that the show is trying to be completely not, we're going to the big markets, which, I mean, Vegas is a big market, but it's not a pro wrestling saturated market like Chicago right. or New York or North Carolina, someone like that. So I liked it. I liked it. I'm excited, but I'm also kind of watching it with my hands over my eyes, like, just peeking out time. Yeah.
You can see Tom cover his face if you watched us on YouTube, youtube.com/SpanishAnnounceTube. But anything else, Tom, before we go to
break? I think we should take a break, get into our favorite things of the week.
I think we should. Yeah, favorite and maybe least favorite even, huh? Maybe we'll go over that again. And, yeah, we're going to take a break. We're going to do what we do when we take breaks. You can fill in the gaps for yourself. But it's a good time for you to also take a break. Go follow us on Twitter at Table Show. I'm at The Awesome Voice and at TMAC_816. That's TMAC, which you can also see if you were watching on YouTube, like I mentioned earlier. But for now, we will take a break and come back to the Spanish Announce Table.
Fun fact, Brian Pillman had over 30 surgeries, throat surgeries, before the age of 6.
The Spanish Announce Table.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we go any farther into this podcast episode, I have to share with you one of the greatest belated Christmas gifts I ever got of all time, given to me by yours truly, Tim of the Spanish Announce Table. I got, and for those with the video, you're about to see the greatest gift, belated Christmas gift of all time. It is a life-size Chad Gable. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Life-size.
Well, yeah, it's life-size because I got you Chad Gable.
Yeah. How nice of you, Tim. Thank you so much for this belated Christmas gift. I was so happy.
It was even in the box. Like, I didn't just, like, hand him. And it was wrapped.
Yeah, I took it out of the box. It was wrapped very well. I had to spend many minutes unwrapping. It was in the box, mint condition. I took it out of the box because I think that's how toys and action figures should be played with. You don't just keep them in a box. Yes. That's stupid.
I'm glad you immediately took it out of the box. Yes.
Yeah, it's a life-size Chad Gable, ladies and gentlemen.
It is Chad Gable.
It's Chad Gable.
The box he came in said Chad Gable. It didn't say life-size Chad Gable. It didn't say Chad Gable figure. It said Chad Gable. I got Tom Chad Gable because I know Tom really wants Chad Gable.
He's my friend, Chad Gable. We're friends.
You have him now.
Thank you, Tim.
He is yours.
Also, fun field trip we have planned, Spanish Announce Table field trip, double date. We're going to see local comedian, and you can check him out on Netflix, Chris Porter.
Ugly and Angry? Is that his?
Ugly and Angry, I believe, is what his Netflix special is called.
So funny.
Very funny. That was actually filmed in Kansas City. If you're bored and you are a fan of comedy, definitely go check that out on Netflix.
Was that Chris the Midland?
It was filmed at the Midland. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. We're going to be seeing him at the Improv. But yeah, got a little Spanish Announce Table field trip, double date with the better halves of Tim and Tom.
The spouses.
That's coming up soon. So we're excited to do that. We'll report back as soon as we get done with that field trip.
The significant others have met briefly, but never really sat and had lengthy conversations before.
We've went over for, what was it, Halloween parties?
Yes. Did they get a chance to hang out and talk much there?
I mean, I don't know if it was like in depth, what's your blood type?
But this will be the first just the four of us setting, though.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Absolutely. And I, ladies and gentlemen, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you got to watch the YouTube videos if they work. We had a little technical difficulties last week. We hope we have repaired those. Well, I even went over to Tom's house and we tested it. We even fixed some settings, tinkered around, and we also planned a future trip.
Oh, we planned a future trip.
Oh, man. Oh.
That the ladies and gentlemen of this fine podcast who listen and support us will be so thrilled we're going to go on.
It is also one that I like. Right? Mm-hmm. And I also love very much. And it just makes me even so happy that I just laugh with tears.
I tell you what, we haven't executed the trip. However, when you said, yeah, I'm all in, I was surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, check out the YouTube video. That's those with the enhanced radio YouTube.
Now it actually means something, ladies and gentlemen.
It does. It does. How fun is that? Hopefully this video will work and I can put it up with this stupid on the podcast.
Eventually we'll go. Yeah, but if it doesn't, eventually we'll get to it. And now it's a funny joke.
But this is how we learn, right? Because nobody's teaching us this. But you could help us in our learning endeavors by donating or buying.
Definitely. Definitely. Hey, so let's get right into it now. Now we're going to talk about the flagship program company of pro wrestling, the WWE Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. I will go first. I'm going to share with you my favorite and least favorite things of the week. So this does come from WWE. Again, moving forward, this can come from any organization. As AEW potentially gets a TV deal, we might share some things from there. Impact Wrestling, I remember a few weeks back, actually a couple months now, Joe Hendry was one of my favorite things. But this comes from WWE. And I'm going to start with my least favorite thing and then go into my favorite thing. My least favorite thing was the Brock Lesnar-Braun Strowman interaction.
Yeah.
If you're going to why it was my least favorite thing of the week was if that is an altercation between immovable object and irresistible force. Yeah. OK, right. I get it. We don't want him to touch. We're still doing the song and dance thing where I only fight when it matters. Come fight me anytime you want, that kind of thing. OK,
yeah. But easy cop out. It's an easy heel move.
But, this is 2019. We listen to the fans, so we're expecting some new ideas, new things happening.
It still hasn't happened. It's fake news until it happens.
So you're still laying it up in regards to that.
Yep.
And then two, this is the Universal title. It's not official, but it's the number one title in the company, right? Like it always main events. It's always there as you know. The WWE title is never going to main event. It's always going to be Universal title or Intercontinental title sometimes, right? It's always the Raw title. Yeah. And this title does not have a good history. You are going to Plan B because of what happened to Roman Reigns. I'll forgive you for that. However, you're going back to a matchup we saw already previous to this, right? When Braun Strowman couldn't beat Brock Lesnar, and I believe it was late summer or maybe early fall. Hashtag tweet the table if I was wrong. But it just felt very lazy. And for Brock Lesnar to be a special attraction, you're going to say he's coming to the arena, buy the t-shirt, I was there, Suplex City, all that stuff. And for him to appear backstage and then just walk one lap around a ring, that is very, very uninspired and lazy.
And we can't get Strowman flipping something or breaking something. That was his calling card a while ago. That's what he does when he's hurt. Like, Austin would drive something through the arena or, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Yeah,
like, that's what you do. I don't understand. Right.
That's what I'm saying. We can smoke and mirrors Braun Strowman throwing a guy through a window or Braun Strowman, you know, tearing down an ambulance or something. You know what I mean?
So at B_double_D chimed in a little bit on what you said there when, using hashtag tweet the table, which you can do also on Twitter, says, say what you want to say, wrong line. He said, going to give it some more time, but so far I feel like the McMahons have conned me yet again. Shit is pretty much the same on Raw. All they did was remove Corbin. Hashtag tweet the table. And I mean, you know, this, like you said, it necessarily doesn't fit into, you know, this wasn't something they necessarily did already, but it's fitting into their easy layups of not really doing anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And I get it. The fresh new matchups, you're kind of handcuffed because you were going to go with Roman Reigns, and I get it. So go back to two proven people that are okay with working with each other. The matchup isn't what I was disappointed in. It's this altercation that you promised us, and you kind of did the same thing you've done every time if they're not going to fight in the ring, right? So if they're not going to fight in the ring, it's Brock is the I fight on my terms. Okay. And then Braun Strowman, you have been a A-plus player on the mic. And then this week, we see you saying to yourself the lines as Brock Lesnar standing backstage. You seemed almost distracted, like as if you weren't sure you were supposed to be in this situation.
It wasn't executed well.
The idea was, again, very lazy. And for this to be the Universal title, something needs to save this ASAP. The title is on its deathbed, in my opinion. And it's the number one title. This was a miss.
Yeah, it just looked awkward. He's standing there the whole time, staring into the screen. It just wasn't well done at all.
No, wasn't done well at all. My least favorite thing of the week. Yeah. Now, let me get into my favorite thing of the week, and it is another champion in WWE. It is the WWE Men's Heavyweight Champion, because there is a women's. That's what they need to start saying. If you're going to really separate this, it's the WWE Men's Heavyweight Champion.
Yes, that's all it has to be.
So
the Raw Men's, you know, SmackDown Heavyweight Men's Champion. Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. So
just
the
SmackDown Men's Champion.
Yeah, the SmackDown Men's Heavyweight Champion.
You don't even have to call it heavyweight because it's
Daniel
Bryan.
Well, because of the 205, but 205.
Yeah, SmackDown Men's Champion.
All right. So the number one title on SmackDown. First off, SmackDown, another home run. Again, consistently, week in, week out, the best show in all of pro wrestling. But this one, woo, Daniel Bryan. I tell you what, you cut a promo right from the get-go in the crowd next to the concession area where you're not mic'd up. You have to yell into the camera. There's people, you know, just as stand-up comedians know, trying to heckle you and get you off of your game by saying, you know, poop or butt or whatever it is, right? People making faces behind the crowd, people trying to get on camera, cutting you off, things like that. It was handled very well as far as, like, they wrangled off the people. Obviously, those people that were there were actors, you know. But the promo was fantastic. The consumerism is bad. Why do you guys do this? You're a hot dog. You know, all of those things. AJ Styles represents all of you. Perfect. Yeah. And then to go through the crowd again and just yell at these people and be on his game, not once blink and lose sight of where he was, unlike Braun Strowman, and just to kill it all the way to the ring. And then to be such a well-rounded character. And again, consistency matters for R-Truth to then jump Daniel Bryan, who was attacked on the Christmas episode of SmackDown, made total sense. And then they go into a match. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then that wasn't enough. He then cuts a second promo later in the night where he was psychotic. It felt like this wasn't an act anymore.
Yes, exactly.
The act was the yes movement. This is the real Daniel Bryan.
Yes, it felt crazy, really real. Yes,
it felt
like
so authentic.
Somebody gave Daniel Bryan placebo meds by accident, right? Like something's not right. Right. Yeah.
Was perfect. Mm-hmm. The anger, the disrespect, the vile nature in which he delivered the promo.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. The feeling of, like you said, uncomfortable that he gave to the interviewer and to the viewer. It was picture perfect. Daniel Bryan, you're psychotic, and I love you. Because I thought you were the biggest nerd. That's what I'm saying. I thought, and look, I love a good traditional babyface, right? Sami Zayn's one of my favorites. Daniel Bryan during the Yes Movement was one of my favorites. That's why I bought his book. How are you liking it, Tim? And it is perfect. He is doing so well in that role. And then for him to then come and do this, to where now I question the book. I don't even know if the book was real. I think this guy is real.
The book and gave you the book instead of Chad Gable.
That would have been funny.
And I did give you Chad Gable.
Yeah, life-size Chad Gable, ladies and gentlemen.
Gave you Chad Gable.
But man, let's go back to Daniel Bryan with that promo. How hard that is to execute. Then how hard it is to execute a promo just in general in WWE programming when there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
It was A plus plus. I can't say how much I loved Daniel Bryan on SmackDown this week.
The unbridled, out of control, like psychotic, just exhalation of his anger to continue that promo so believably and never lose that character. And that angst is hard for any actor because that takes energy and effort. And people, when they get that way, are getting that way because of adrenaline. So you have to act adrenaline, which is not easy to do.
No. Like that's, yeah. It's
very, very, way better than I've ever seen Daniel Bryan do anything in as far of the acting part of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Like light and years, suddenly it was like, holy crap, who is this guy?
Right. And I tell you, kind of going back to what I said about MJF, when he cuts a promo where it has that little grain of truth in it, you know, this, the world is ending. I'm the planet's champion. I'm getting rid of the leather belt because of that. Okay. That's a little bit, but when he talks about the consumerism and he talks about how, you know, you're just a sheep for whatever is trying to fit in this culture. That's kind of true. It makes you feel uncomfortable where you're like, okay, Daniel Bryan, like a hot dog's now the worst thing in the world. But then you go like, fuck, it is kind of contributing to climate change. You know what I mean?
Go around the crowd and start ripping out plastic straws of everybody's drink.
Well, he mentioned it.
Drink.
He was like, look at this plastic with a plastic straw. Yeah.
He should go out and start ripping them out of drinks and like throwing them back at the people, right? Like just do that. He gets sued.
Right. But what he is doing is, I wish he was the Universal Champion, because then it would be the number one story in all of WWE. Yeah. Like, he is that good. Get him to Raw and keep him in this and put him with Seth Rollins. You know what I mean? Seth Rollins can play the AJ Styles character just as well. And there you go. Because I'm tired of Brock Lesnar, but Daniel Bryan, God bless America, he is good. Woo! So good.
Yeah, on point. Giving him 5 stars right now. I mean, he is... If I was Dave
Meltzer, I'd give him 8 stars in the Tokyo Dome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's roll into mine.
Let's
start with the least favorite.
All right.
Goes back to your new matchups, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the layups. Mm-hmm. We had Ember Moon and Apollo Crews take on Jinder Mahal and Alicia Fox in what was, I don't know, what, a 2-minute match maybe? I mean, what? Who is this for? What are they doing this for? Why? Why?
And here's the thing where I wish whoever, again, maybe Raw and SmackDown is written by the same guy and it's just not consistent on both shows. But if it's written by two separate teams, I wish the Raw team would take a page from the SmackDown team's playbook in this regard. So on SmackDown, you had the Usos versus the Bar, right?
Uh-huh.
The Usos versus the Bar. But you know what you had in there? Mandy Rose coming out going, oh, hey, Jimmy, did I leave my bikini at your place? A new wrinkle in a matchup that's going to give you great wrestling, but now we have like a, oh shit, is he in trouble? And then he gets distracted, Bar gets the win, then Bar goes right into the Miz and Shane McMahon, and then Jimmy has to do the whole like, Naomi, you're going to kill one of these bitches, let me hold you back. That's how you take a stale matchup, just like the Ember Moon and Apollo Crews matchup with Jinder Mahal, And you freshen it up. It's something new right? Like, but Apollo and Jinder can have a good match, but yeah, exactly. Your reaction there, it can still suck.
Oh, it was so bad. Like, and so Cruz, you gave us Cruz and Ambrose last week, and we're like, all right, well, cool, right?
We can get behind it.
And then suddenly he's relegated to the mixed match challenge that just ended. What is going on?
And I get throwing darts at a wall. Right. Apollo Crews, we're hoping that something sticks, but that wasn't it. So you know what you get? You get a golf clap.
You get a golf clap. Yeah. I want to throw an honorable mention least favorite out also. And it's a concept that I feel like is another thing that they're not going away from, that maybe they Cena is out doing the Cena thing, which is great, right? Whatever. It's not great. I forgot how much I don't miss Cena.
Yeah, every week. Dumb as a
right, so bit. Whatever, right? And he does the 8 mile stick, and you know what I mean? You can't make fun of me, right? He does all that stuff, right?
He does it once good, but then it gets old. Yeah.
Right. So, and then they bring out Drew, and I like Drew and what he's saying to him, and I like that he's kind of, you know what I mean, like sticking it to him. But then they bring out the Lashley and Rush, which is kind of cool because you're kind of like, all right, I get that, right? They're like, nah, screw this. Everything's going off. So it's like, all right, I get that. But then it turns into what WWE always does. It's, well, now Ambrose is involved and Finn Balor, and now we have a 3-man tag match with all these three storylines. Yeah. And I get what you say when you're like, I like when storylines converge because it's real, but this isn't what you mean, I believe, right? Like, this is nonsense.
Yeah.
This doesn't help any single storyline. And if you have 3 hours to fill, and you're filling it with Ember Moon and Apollo versus Mahal and Fox, when you could be telling these three stories better over the time, right? Like, spread these out. This doesn't advance any of the storylines. It just stalls them and makes them all staler.
Mm-hmm.
Or more stale. How are you supposed to say that? Like, more I don't stale. Get why they do that all the time.
I don't know.
Like, every week they got to do that. But I did have, like, Dean was like, I never did, like, 3-man tags. Like, they still made it in there, whatever. That was fun. Yeah. So shout out to him on that. All right. We're going to move into my favorite thing, Tom, and I'm throwing the curveball at you. It's coming out of NXT.
Hey.
All right. I don't know if you watched NXT.
I do. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I like the opening bit with Gargano and then Ricochet, and they start doing their little, like, hey, we're going to throw down for this title, and then out comes Ciampa to just fuck with shit because Ciampa loves to fuck with shit. And then Black's like, hey, man, focus. Remember me? Well, like that little bastard, I'm actually a threat to you, right? Like, I loved that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sick burn. And then just for good measure, Johnny's like, fuck you. Super kick. And sitting over him like, yeah. And everybody's like, Johnny's better. Like, I loved it. I loved all of it. I was like, this is it. This is how this is supposed to be.
And that's when you had mentioned that I like when storylines bleed over, that's what it is,
that
right?
That is what it is,
It's an antagonist who's just there to fuck shit up and say he's better than everyone to then just poke his nose into another situation just to go like, hey, guys, I'm better than you. And then the person that he's feuding with comes out and goes like, no, you're not moving past me. Don't look at them.
Right.
It's me still. And then you go back to the storyline with Gargano and Ricochet because they're still in the ring. Yeah, that's how a carnival would act in real life.
Yes. Is,
you know, things would be bumping into each other and little edges would be, you know, not fully formed. And then this happens here and then we're taking a right there. Mm-hmm. That's how it happens.
Yes.
That promo, well, that segment is how I think pro wrestling should be more
and
like.
Ricochet felt real. Also, he's like, hey, man, all you had to do was ask, but you're going to take it now?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so now we're not cool, right? You know what I mean? Like, you could have just asked, but now you're acting like a bitch, you know? So it's time
and
to throw hands,
you do when,
right.
Yeah, that's what you do when someone tries to test you is you go, man, we didn't have to do it this way, but guess what?
Yeah.
My foot's going to get broken off in your ass.
But we're going to because you fucking opened your mouth like a dumbass. All right. I'm also going to give a shout-out to Bianca Belair. Every time I watch NXT and see her, I'm reminded, I'm like, that chick is a freak athlete compared to some of the other women they've got out there. So when she finally, like, gets it going and gets up there, that's going to be a good addition.
And Naomi, you know what they could do?
Mm.
Female Harlem Heat.
Tom, man, you really love that Harlem Heat, man. You're never going to let that go.
I want to hear that song every week.
Yeah, just the song every week.
I just want to hear the song.
Yes. Have Booker T be their manager.
Booker T being the manager. Yeah. When was the last time you saw a male managing a female tag team?
He does a spin a Rooney to celebrate their wins.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That would be fun.
I know.
Yes. Yes.
They're coming out with the coming out with the women's tag team championship.
You sold me in short order. I'm on board. I want that. Yes. Bianca Belair, Naomi, the female Harlem Heat with Booker T. I'm on it. Let's do it.
Yep. First inaugural tag team champions for the women's division. There it is.
Just come in and just destroy them. Like, it's the favorite, and they go, oh, you thought this was it. There's an extra match you now have to face, right?
It would be like at the very end, and it would be the Boss and Hug Connection versus the Iconics, right? Okay. And so Boss and Hug or Bayley and Sasha win, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're celebrating. They don't get the titles handed to them, right? They're hugging, they're celebrating, they get their hands raised. Booker T's, the Harlem Heat music. Plays.
Right.
Booker T walks out and goes, ladies, congratulations.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh my God.
He hadn't said right here, right now there yet.
Yeah. So. Right here, right. Wait, this is where he goes. Oh my goodness. Right here, right now. You get to be in the finals of the women's tag team division or tag team title match. And then that's when Bianca Belair and Naomi walk out and then the music's played. They walk down.
They're all done up in the Heat gear too, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then the ref just like, all right, and Bayley and Sasha are exhausted, and they have this incredible finisher, right? Because they're so athletic, they can do whatever they want. It's a triple 3D or whatever they want to do. And then they win the titles. Booker T puts their hands in there. There's the titles. The new Harlem Heat.
Well, we don't get the name. Spin-a-Rooney as they're standing over him posing.
Right, and then Bayley and Sasha have to come from underneath, which was what WWE loves.
Yep.
The Iconics can always be the little antagonist, like, oh my God, they're ugly, their gear is so stupid, all that stuff. And then you have the heels with Booker T as their mouthpiece, because Booker T in wrestling character isn't bad. Booker T on the commentary that's fucking god awful.
Real bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Real bad.
So he can be their mouthpiece, and then the new female Harlem Heat.
But my favorite thing was absolutely the Gargano, the Ricochet, NXT,
God,
man,
awesome.
It's on fire. Love it all. And then, man, we'll keep it there, right? So let's get the plugs in again. You hit the SpanishAnnounceTable.net, brought to you by B-Double-D, because he went to tableshow@gmail.com and gave us a nice healthy donation for the PayPal.
Tableshow@gmail.com.
Go to Zazzle.com/SpanishAnnounceTable, buy some stuff. We only get a small percent.
Z-A-Z-Z-L-E.
Yeah.
Z-A-Z-Z-L-E. Again, Z-A-Z-Z-L-E.
Or you can find it on SpanishAnnounceTable.net, brought to you by B-Double-D. There's a link right there. Also, remember to hashtag Tweet the Table on Twitter. We are at Table Show on Twitter. I'm at The Awesome Boys. He's at TMac_816. And that's it for now. Yeah, that's enough points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and life-size Chad Gable, we'll get out of here.
Yeah, do whatever you guys are going to go do. Anyway,
we'll
be back next week on the Spanish Announce Table.
Fun fact, Triple H made his debut in wrestling by beating future DX running mate Road Dogg.
The Spanish Announce Table.